Heavenly Father, as we come tonight to love you, to thank you, to lift you up in praise. Father, I ask that you bless and anoint every part of this service. Help us to be in one mind and one accord, receptive, submissive, and obedient to your will. Father, we ask, Lord, that you would sanction every word that is spoken tonight, every song that is sung. Let it be for your honor and for your glory. We do remember those who are suffering, those who are sick tonight, those in the hospitals, in the nursing homes. Father, we pray that you would reach them, touch them, and anoint them in a mighty way. Father, God, I ask you, Lord, to bless the many that are unsaved tonight. Father, I pray that you would convict hearts. Lord, prick their soul and bring them to an altar of repentance. Father, now, Lord, I just ask that the Holy Ghost have his free will and way in this service tonight. We'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's sing that when we all get to heaven. What key is it? When we all get to heaven. What number is it?
393.
393. When we all get to heaven. Sing it, church. Seated tonight. I hope you're in anticipation of a mighty move of God. I feel his sweet, sweet presence here tonight. We may ask our ushers to come forward tonight as we go ahead and receive of our Sunday night offering and just get that out of the way, and let's just pull up to the table that the Lord has prepared for us tonight and partake of his blessings. Amen. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful again for an opportunity to come into your house to worship. Father, we're thankful for those who've gathered here tonight. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you just rain that heavenly manna down upon each and every one of us. God bless the minister as he stands tonight to bring the word. And God bless this offering for the furtherance of your gospel. And we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. For we ask it in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. Amen. Praise Jesus. While the choir gets ready, I think they've got a new one they're going to spring on you tonight. Choir, praise team. Praise team. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yes, Sister Linda Fuji, come and play.
Well, don't get too quiet in here.
Amen.
This just says, I cannot tell you what God has done for me. I can say he's done a lot. I can say he's done more than what I'm worthy of. But I know he's loved me and he's taken care of me when he didn't need to. Because of my failings, and he's just always been with me. So y'all worship the Lord as I try to get this out. It says, what the Lord has done for me. I cannot tell you how God formed the mountains or placed the stars in the sky. I cannot tell you how he paints the rainbow. Oh,
switch it over to the regular church setting. You know, the floor speakers are so hot, it's blowing us out up here.
Kevin, you getting words for us?
Blood in them. Did that not seem like an Irish ballad kind of to y'all? I got some Irish in me, and I'm going to tell you, I wanted some Irish potatoes. So I had that. Come back and do a little bit more of that if you would. It's got a good beat and it's easy to dance to.
Jesus.
kind of like that one. That's kind of personal. Sister Jennifer, would you and Brother Keith arrange a number for us? Amen. Then we're just going to get right into the Word tonight. We got a, for those of you that I announced this morning, we got a special treat for us tonight. Brother Kevin's going to be bringing the Word for us. I'm anxious to get in to hear that Word.
I still, the battle's not mine. E flat. Battle's not mine. Praise God. Because I am not strong enough, smart enough, wise enough to win a battle without Jesus Christ. Y'all worship with us as we sing Little David.
ours. It belongs to the Lord. We got one more song for you. Sister Tabitha's going to sing. Amen. And then we're going to listen to Brother Kevin tonight and his wonderful testimony.
I hadn't asked my husband to sing with me in a while, so I'm going to ask him to sing with me. I want him to testify.
I thank the Lord for all he's done for me. You know, it's amazing how the Lord speaks to you when you're silent. Last night we had, generally I'll sleep all the night through. It doesn't matter if a tornado comes through or whatever, you know, I'll sleep the night through and not think anything of it. But last night we had these dogs at our neighbor's house that would not be quiet. And I had fallen asleep and I woke up a couple of different times during the night. And I could just steady hear them. One of them was even getting hoarse. They were barking so much. And I wasn't really getting aggravated, you know. I was just, you know, Lord, please let these dogs be silent. You know, I'm about tired of this. But all of a sudden, the dogs hushed. And as soon as the dogs hushed, the Lord spoke to me and said, "In your life, you stay so busy, and you think everything's so important, and everything around you is going yep, 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 just like those dogs are, and all you can concentrate on is those dogs. You can't think about anything else." But when those dogs are silent, listen to what I say. I said, "Thank you, Lord." That was those dogs barking all night long. You know, my wife's going to say, "For real, they were meant for me." If that's what it takes for God to speak to me, then hey, let them dogs bark. But I'm thankful that He reaches down and He touches us. You know, sometimes we pray for healing, we pray for things, and we pray and we pray and we pray, and we think, you know, Brother Kevin, that God's never going to answer. And all of a sudden, one day we wake up and God's answered. And we say, wow. And you know what? The problem is we go on with our day because we don't give God enough praise. I watched this man right there on a trampoline last night.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, a few months ago, he was in a wheelchair. You can't tell me God still doesn't do miracles.
Yes.
That was a miracle. And just to see the look on his face and the look on his wife's face was just so joy. That just blessed my heart so much last night. I watched it over and over and over again. But it just blessed my heart so much to think about how in all of the galaxies and all of the universe and all of the world, he reached down and he touched me. And he touched you. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows the thoughts that we think. Wow. We think, well, we're going through something big. He's already been on the other side of that.
Yeah.
You know, we forget that he is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We're so bound by time, we can't exist out of time. You say, "Oh, Brother Chris, yeah, we can. What are you doing tomorrow at 2 o'clock? Well, let me check my schedule." God exists outside of that.
Yes,
and we don't think about that, but God is bigger than all my problems, bigger than all anything I can or cannot face. He's bigger than it. And we're going to sing He Touched Me tonight. Woo, hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. For he touched me. Oh, he touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul. Something wonderful happened, and now I know he touched me. Made me whole.
just feel like doing this song right here. Y'all just bear with me. Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus.
Excited for Brother Kevin to be able to stand in the pulpit. Amen. And bring us the message. Brother Kevin, come. Take your liberty in the Lord. Be much in.
Amen.
Praise God.
Let's get another hand clap. Praise for the Lord. Just want to start with saying, about 2 months ago, I didn't think I'd be back up here doing this. I really doubted it, but the Lord showed me. If you would, let's start tonight opening up by the book of Habakkuk. I'm going to go to the third chapter. And we'll start with verse 17. It says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And if you would, turn over to the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verse 1. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Yes. Brother Chris, you say a prayer. Just to show how the way the Lord works, this message came shortly after that morning. I got up and had realized that God had healed me, and I gave a message about this to the teens a couple weeks ago, and I was feeling the urge that I needed to give it to everybody. And I was thinking about it and thinking about it. Well, then last Sunday, Brother Eddie uses that verse, Psalm 34:1. And it was a message he was going to give before the Spirit moved. And I just thought that was confirmation that I needed to stand up here and give what the Lord gave to me. Raise your hand if you haven't ever had any kind of troubles. No tribulations. Everybody has tribulations. The problem is life is built that way. We're born in this world and we're guaranteed to have troubles. We'll look at three examples from the Bible of people who had these troubles just like we did and how they handled it. And I titled the message tonight, When It Doesn't Make Sense, or you also call Praise the Lord Anyhow. The first one is Job. You read in the book of Job, it says that Job was a righteous man. So that even though he's a righteous man and you see everything that he went through, all the troubles, everything, the loss, and it seemed like it was more than it was humanly possible to endure. Yeah, he did. And we look at David. The Bible tells us David was a man of God. He was anointed king of Israel, and he was a mighty worshiper of God. But nothing that he did for the Lord exempted him from troubles and from pain. If you look, most of his life was nothing but one hardship after another, one trouble after another. And we look at Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas were apostles of God. Jesus personally chose Paul on the road to Damascus. And they were following Jesus' great commission to spread the gospel and try to save souls. But that didn't exempt them from troubles either. Those are three examples, but there's plenty of them in the Bible we see that have these troubles. The truth is that sometimes life hurts. Sometimes you're in a pit. Sometimes you're in a fire. Sometimes you're up on a mountaintop feeling like nothing can go wrong. The next time you're in the valley or you're in the prison. The Bible tells us that things are going to happen to us. Matthew 5:45 says, that God maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. It doesn't matter how good we are. There's going to be rain that falls on us. It doesn't matter how bad somebody is. Some things, good things are going to happen to them. But as Christians, we also have the devil to, contend with. Whenever we're doing what God wants us to do, the devil's going to be right there to try to convince us that it's not worth it, to convince us just give up. 1 Peter 5:8 says, Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And there's some people that will tell you that bad things happen to you because you're not living right. That if you just live right, do this, do that, then life's going to be good. Nothing bad's going to happen. But we know that's not true because it happens to us every day. And I'm not trying to make everybody depressed. you know, try to get you down with it. But we have to be prepared. All these times when bad things happen, that's when praise doesn't make sense. It's easy to praise when good things are going. It seems to make sense then. But when bad things happen, do we praise Him also? In the first scripture I read from Habakkuk, it's kind of a book that a lot of people, some people haven't even heard of. It's hidden in the back of the Old Testament. Habakkuk was a prophet, and he lived in Judah. And God had showed them that his nation was going to be destroyed. Enemies were going to come in, and we're going to destroy them. And Habakkuk did the same thing most of us would do. First question was, why? You know, we're supposed to be your people. Why are you going to destroy us? Why are you going to allow these bad things to happen? And then God led him to understand that it was all part of his plan. And after he made him see that, he didn't start moaning and groaning. He didn't hide in a hole somewhere waiting for it all to go away. He said, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Yet, even though all those things are going to happen, I'm still going to praise the Lord. Basically, he said, I've decided I'm going to praise God even when it doesn't make sense. I don't know everybody's problems in here, but I'm sure there's somebody that's having a problem with sickness. There's somebody that's having a problem with finances. Somebody having problems with a job. Or countless other things. I don't know everybody's situation. But my question is, what are you going to do? God doesn't want us to let our feelings or emotions take over. Being human, being flesh, we often let our emotions take over. When something bad happens to us, we just want to sit there and just say why and feel sorry for ourselves. Expect other people to feel sorry for us and have a big pity party. He doesn't want us to go in deep depression. That's something that's it's a problem nowadays, is depression. Everywhere you turn, there's people battling it. Sometimes there's people battling it that we don't even know. But depression is a big thing, and we can't let that happen. We can't run to the fridge and get a gallon of ice cream and drown our sorrows in that milky, cold goodness. We can't go and overdose on prescription meds like we see all nowadays. Figure this all go away if we can't feel it. We can't get angry at God and blame Him for what's happening to us. That's a big thing nowadays. It's God's fault. No matter what it is, God is causing the problems. It don't matter what we did. It don't matter whether we caused it. It's God's fault that all these bad things are happening to us. What God does want us to do is what David did in the Bible. Psalms 27:14 says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Today, it's all fast-paced. We want everything now. Get it. Go to the drive-thru. If you're there more than 2 minutes, you're mad because you're waiting on your food. And a lot of times we expect when we ask for healing or we ask for something about a situation going on, we want it done now. When I first started having problems, that was what I expected. You know, I'm gonna pray to God and it's going to be over with. There's people that's been waiting 20 years for an answer. People have been waiting 30 years for an answer. And they're starting, sometimes people start wondering, well, is it ever going to happen? Am I just praying for no reason? Am I just wasting my breath? David said, wait on the Lord. However long, we have to wait. It says in 1 Samuel 36, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Our source of strength is God. Our strength as humans, as flesh, is never going to make it through without having God to give us His strength. But we have to ask for it. We have to accept it. We can't sit there and say, I'm fine by myself. I'm just going to do it. Sometimes we mess up God's plan
for us by trying to do it ourselves. I'm waiting too long, or I can just do it myself. I don't need God. And then we just go and mess it all up. And we're waiting another 10 years because we messed it up. And in Psalms 34:1, the second scripture I read, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The Living Bible translation, I like the way it puts it. It says, I will praise the Lord no matter what happens. No matter what happens. Plenty of things are going to happen even while we're waiting on the answer. It's going to distract us. But we got to keep our eyes on the Lord and praise Him no matter what. I will constantly speak of His glories and grace. When bad things are happening, we still got to be telling other people about how good God is. You know, what kind of example is it if people see us going through troubles and we're still telling people, ain't God good? You know, God is great. God did this. God did that. We don't think about all the other things that we have are blessed with. We may have something going wrong, but all the other things. You know, we woke up in the morning and took that first breath. A lot of people don't do that. There's a lot of people who won't wake up in the morning. We have families that love us and support us no matter what. That's a big one for me because I know it's hard for my family to put up with me sometimes. But I'm blessed with a family that will. With a church family that will support you no matter what. That they will always give that strength and support and pray for you. But we don't think about that. We just think about that problem. One little problem that's just constantly nagging at us. I went to the Bible's concordance and looked up the word praise. Over 60 verses are from David's Psalms. David talked a lot about praising. And you can look and follow along in the Bible. And in some Bibles, it'll tell you when he wrote them, what was going on at that time. Some of these things, praising him, he had some bad things going on. People trying to kill him. You know, people, his own family turned against him, his sons. But he was still praising God no matter what was going on. John 16:33 said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus told us we're going to have trouble. He knew it. And he wanted us to be prepared for it. But it says he told us things so we can have peace. We got to have that peace knowing that God's got it. That God's going to take care of it. And keep on praising him no matter what's going on. Today the church is full of what we call pretty praisers. People that like to stand up and, you know, everything's good. Everything's hunky-dory. They've got money in their bank account. They're not sick. They're, you know, their families are all healthy. And it's good. They stand up there and praise then. They stand there in one spot and they look around, make sure everybody's watching them, make sure their hair's fixed, make sure, you know, they're all nice and looking and everything, and everybody can see that they're praising. It doesn't take much confidence to be a pretty praiser. You know, when everything's good, you know, it's no problem to praise. But we should definitely praise God at all times. It may not make perfect sense to people to praise when bad things are happening. You get in, you got the ugly praisers. Sounds negative, but it's not. Those are the people who bad things are going on, and they don't care who sees them. They don't care that they, when they come up to the altar, and the tears are running down their face, and they're praising God, and their makeup's running, their hair's all messed up, and they're dancing around because the Spirit's got them. They don't care what people think about them. They're going to praise God no matter what. It takes a lot to praise God when your bank account is empty, when you've lost your job that you needed to pay the bills, when you're being persecuted and abused. Nowadays, it's becoming more and more where Christians are getting persecuted and abused just for being Christian. You don't have to go and shout it out to everybody. If they know you're Christian, a lot of times you're going to get persecuted. It's hard to praise God when your health is failing. I know this firsthand. It's hard when, you know, you don't know what's going to happen next. You don't know what part of your body is going to go bad again next time. It's hard to praise God then. It's easy to doubt. When you're praising God until tears are rolling down your face, God sees that. He likes ugly praise. He likes it when we throw caution in the wind and we drop everything at His feet and praise Him. Yes, pretty praisers have a problem with ugly praisers because it scares them. You know, they're all trying to look nice and everything. They see somebody next to them blubbering, tears running down their face, makeup running, shouting. They're worried about that. Reason why they have a problem with it is because to them it doesn't make sense. God says it's time to quit worrying about trying to be pretty. It's time to give it up. I said we were going to talk about three people in the Bible. And we'll start with Job. Job 1:1 says, "There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil." Here's this man that did everything he was supposed to do. He said he feared God. He was upright. Everything should be going good for him. And it was at first. It lists all the things he had. You know, he had 10 kids. He had all these animals, all these servants, all these possessions, all this land. And life was good. And it was easy to praise God then. But then just 10 verses from Job 1:13 through 22, he lost everything. It doesn't tell us how much time, but the Bible does say is one person's coming and telling them something bad's happened and somebody else came and told him. He said he lost all his animals and all his servants were killed but one. Fire fell from the sky and burned up his sheep and all the servants but one. The Chaldeans took his camels and slew his servants all but one. And then, the worst of all, all his 10 kids were gathered in one house. And they were having a party. And said the wind came and blew the house over on top of them and killed every single one of them. That would be right there, be enough to break most people. You know, you just lose it. But Job didn't. What did Job do? He didn't blame God, though people told him to do it. He didn't blame others. There was plenty of people around him he could have blamed. He gave ugly praise. It says that he tore his clothes, he shaved his head, he poured ashes on himself, and he fell to the ground, but he praised the Lord. Did it make sense to all those people that was around him that he was praising God? From what they said, no, it didn't. You know, they tried to tell him it was because he was doing something wrong. His wife told him in 2:9, "Curse God and die." His own wife told him that. That's a lot of peer pressure. It's a lot of people. Can you imagine all these people telling you, you know, it's your fault. It's God's fault. It's whatever. Just die. And on top of that, his own health declined. He had boils from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. So he had this pain and misery on top of all the emotional things that was going on. But still he praised God. And in the end, God saw that praise. He saw that he didn't turn against God. He didn't blame God. He didn't curse God like the devil said he was going to do. And it said that he gave Job back double what he lost. Let's look at David. 1 Samuel 31 through 3. It says, "It came to pass when David and his men had come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city and behold, it was burned with fire and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive." We talked about David, all the praise that he gave to God. But still, look what happened. You know, their city was gone. It was destroyed. All their wives and their kids and everything were taken, drug away into captivity. And it says, verse 4 through 6, then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept, and so they had no more power to weep. And then, and David's two wives were taken captives. Adullam the Jezreelite and Abigail the wife of Nabal and Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So the first thing they did was they wept until they didn't have any more strength. So now they're weak. There's no strength in them. And then his own men turned on him. David had lost, said he lost wives too that were taken, but yet they were wanting to kill him. But David didn't blame God. He didn't throw a pity party. It says that he found strength in the Lord. When we're sapped of strength, we have nothing else, think we can't go any further. We have to do what David did. We have to get strength from the Lord. We have to go to him and tell him, I don't have anything else. There's nothing else I can do. The only one that can help is you. I need your strength. And it says that God saw his praise, and he renewed David's strength. So they chased down the people. They found a slave who showed them where the Amalekites were at. And so they went and they killed almost all of them. And they took back everything that they had lost. God did that. God gave them the strength. God's the one to put that slave there to show them where they were at. God was the one that gave them that strength, even though they were totally weak, to have the strength to go all that way, march all that way, and then fight a battle and win. Paul and Silas. One of my favorite characters, or favorite people in the Bible, is Paul. Just because I can identify with a lot of things about Paul. We don't hear a lot about Silas, except for when it comes, he's with Paul going on these missionary journeys. In Acts 16, it talks about how they went and they were going to pray in this one town. I think it was Philippi. And it says a girl that was possessed with a demon that could tell the future started following them around. And was said it was yelling, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Said she went around days following them around, yelling this everywhere they went. And Paul finally got tired of it and turned around and cast out the demon. Sounds like a pretty good thing, you know, casting out a demon. But it says that she had masters. She was a slave. She had masters who were making money on her telling the future. And they got mad because now their money ticket's gone. And Paul and Silas are doing is doing what God told them to do. Doing what God wanted them to do. And now these guys are wanting to kill them. They drug them to the market where all the people in the city were and riled up all these people against them and the magistrates telling them what they did. And it said, and the multitude rose up together against them, verse 22, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. Imagine being in their shoes. All you're doing is what God wanted you to do. You know, Jesus had given the Great Commission, go out and baptize. Go out and save all these souls. He called Paul on the road to Damascus and gave him the mission to go to the Gentiles and to preach. So he's just doing what God wanted him to do. But yet, when he casts out the one demon, all these people come up against him. And it beat him, you know, I'm sure they're bleeding, they're black and blue. They're thrown in this inner prison, their feet are in stocks. I know what I would do. I would start feeling sorry for myself. I start asking God why. You know, they had no idea what their future held after that. Back then, they probably could have stoned them. I don't know, you know. But they knew they were in trouble. But it says they praised God and sang hymns. Right in the middle of this, it was midnight, it says, right in the middle of this dungeon. I'm sure it's almost pitch black. It's probably dirty and damp and nasty. But yet they're still praising God. And it says that the other prisoners were listening to them. Probably didn't make sense. They're probably thinking these people are crazy. Sitting there praising God, but they're in the middle of the jail with their feet shackled. You know, who are you to praise God? What do you have to be happy about? But it said God noticed their praise. It says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. An earthquake. Not something, a little small thing, like they're all of a sudden their shackles just fell off. It was an earthquake. That's huge. Just because they praised God when it didn't make sense. Even though they praised God anyhow, no matter what was going on with them, God sent this earthquake. Not only that, it says that the jailer and his whole household were saved because of it. Not only did God use this earthquake and all this stuff to help two of his people, he used it to save a whole entire family. All because they praised God when it didn't make sense. God responded to Job's praise and gave him back double everything he had lost. God responded to David's praise and recovered everything the enemy has stolen. God responded to Paul and Silas's ugly praise and shook the jail off its foundations in order to free them and to save a whole family. If you give God praise when it makes no sense, he's going to take notice. It may not be in your time frame, but he's going to take notice and he's going to act. Everybody, if you would, please stand. If you're going through trials and tribulations, if you're sick and need healing, if you need family members saved, if you need a job that you need to support your family, I'd like to ask you, if you would, to come to the altar. Give that praise when it doesn't make sense. God's going to listen to you. He's going to hear you. He is going to respond. The devil's going to tell you that it's going to look funny. The devil's going to tell you it doesn't make sense. Why waste your time? The devil's going to tell you that eventually you're going to be able to do it on your own. He's going to tell you anything it takes to keep you rooted in that seat. But God says, so what? So what if it looks funny? So what if you don't think anything can be done? So what if you think it's impossible? Nothing is possible with God. You know, last week I gave my testimony. And it's been a long time coming. But God acted. There's a lot of times I doubted, and I know I shouldn't. There's a lot of times that I figured, you know, just if you know, just leave it the way it is. It is, you know, whatever. But I had to praise God, and I feel ashamed sometimes that I didn't give praise sometimes because I didn't want to. Or because I doubted. Especially looking at it from hindsight now. And a lot of people would be the same way. When you look at it in hindsight, in the future, and you wonder, you know, why didn't I praise God more? Why didn't I believe him? Why didn't I think that nothing's impossible with him? Sometimes it takes us seeing to believing, to believe. But faith is believing without seeing. Faith is believing it's going to happen in the future, even though we can't see that future. So if anybody has anything that they want to come and praise God about, something to ask God to help them, to give that ugly praise, I invite you to come up. Give that ugly praise. Don't worry what anybody's thinking. Don't worry about what it looks like.
This might seem strange, but I'm going to obey the Lord. I want to call the names of my children that are not living for the Lord. If you don't take but one of them names and pray for them, I'd appreciate it. But I'm going to call their names out. I just feel like I need to do it. One of them is Megan, Crystal, Melanie, and Michael. Just take one of them names in your heart and pray that the Lord will save them.
Thank you. walk along the water. Come along with me, for I've never seen you step on the water. My songs are down through the river. There's a man walking on the water. Come along with me, for I want to see the stairs walking on the water. Jesus is the man at the river. He is washing people's sins away. As I go down to the river, there's a man walking on the water. Come along with me, for I wanna see this man walking on the water. I'll go down to the river. There's
A great big hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Well, we've been blessed. So blessed. Amen.